Amen. Well, it's great to be together, everybody. And from the youngest to the oldest, we trust there's going to be something meaningful for us as we look into the Bible some further now. We got the sheets, which you should have. I trust everybody's got one. We've run out. It's great to see you here anyway. If you've got a sheet, please follow. I'm going to read Psalm 61 now. We've sung about it. And let's read then Psalm 61 together. Let's turn to our Old Testament. 8 verses in this psalm. 8 verses of gold to bless us and encourage us as we want to know that there is help for the desperate. There is hope for the desperate. So Psalm 61, which is on page 578 of the Church Bibles. Let's again take care to hear this word. And it says, Psalm 61, for the director of music with stringed instruments of David. Hear my cry, O God, listen to my prayer. For the ends of the earth, from the ends of the earth, I call to you. I call as my heart grows faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been a refuge, a strong tower against the foe. I long to dwell in your tent forever and take refuge in the shelter of your wings. Selah, for you have heard my vows, O God. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. Increase the days of the king's life, his years for many generations. May he be enthroned in God's presence forever. Appoint your love and faithfulness to protect him. Then will I ever sing praise to your name and fulfill my vows day after day. Let's pray. And we will say, Father, that is your word. And as we consider it now, we want everything to be said to be recommending that word, affirming that word, and for us to be affected as regards to what that word from you means for us today, as we pray in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. 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 So are you desperate this morning? Are you desperate? What is it? What is it to be desperate? What would you say about that? What is it to be desperate? I'll put to you that it is to need help in and relief from a situation. It's to need help in a situation and to have relief from a situation. Those two things. We're desperate. Something's happened in our lives and we want help. Somebody's in a car accident and they want help. They're desperate. We're injured. We want relief in that situation. I'm going to think about being desperate this morning. Desperate for help. I think it comes upon all of us, you know. I think this is a universal thing. Children, you might not have had that yet in your life, but it's likely to come. There'll be times when we're desperate. Something will happen. Maybe physical danger. Maybe something just deeply emotional, and we become desperate. Desperate that we need help in a situation, relief from a situation. So there's something, this is something for us all this morning. Because there is hope for the desperate. Which I trust we'll learn as we go through this psalm. The Psalms, 150 of them, are just wonderful for us as Christians because they reflect. They reflect all of the circumstances and the experiences of life, from the happy to the sad. Everything is in the Psalms. And we're pitching in Psalm 61 this morning, and I've called the Psalm Hope for the Desperate or Help for the Desperate. Those two things are found as we go through this Psalm. We got David, it says right at the beginning, the top, it says David, he says, put this to music. He wants people to remember it. One of the benefits of music is what? Helps people to remember things, doesn't it? So put it to music. Get it remembered. It's of David. And most likely, if you want to know the detail of it, it doesn't say in the psalm, so I don't think we can say definitively, this is probably after Absalom had taken the throne from his father David. And David had been driven away. Verse 2 says, from the ends of the earth I call to you. The ends of the land, it could be the land of Israel. He's been driven away, and he's far away. And it's something probably connected with that time that this psalm refers to. So let's get into the psalm, and we want to think firstly of finding our feet. Finding our feet when we're desperate, we're uncertain, we're all over the place. We want to find our feet. And so let's look at David, and let's look at David, and we want to be learning for ourselves. And as I say, in Psalm 2, as we just go to Psalm 2, if you're following it, in Psalm 2, he seems to be away from home. He's away from his known circumstances. He's away from that which is familiar. He's away from the special place of worship which was there in Jerusalem. God had a special place set up for the worship of God, which told of all wonderful things. And David is away from that, but he says. He says what? He says, I can still call out to God. He can still call to the Lord. There is no place where we are too far away to call out to God. So this is David. But look particularly then into the middle of verse 2. He's calling as his heart grows faint. Now this gets to the heart of what David's situation is. David is, your version in front of you may say, he's overwhelmed. Life has got to him. Life has overwhelmed him. And possibly it might be something of the idea of about to be suffocated. Anybody ever been in that situation? It's a dreadful situation, isn't it? Children, I don't know if you ever experienced something. Possibly you're gasping for breath. Perhaps even the waves, an image of the waves coming, and you're in this storm and you can hardly feel you can survive the next wave. Well, that's what David felt about life. He felt as if it was all too big and it was all too overwhelming. Could be you this morning. Possibly has been you at certain times. Possibly will be at certain times. So David's psalm's going to hit us. And what does he do? Well, that's we've got the why of what he's doing. We've got the what of what he's doing in verse 1. What does he do? He cries out to God and asks the Lord to listen to my prayer. He's going to one place, or one place alone, because he knows that's the place to go to, and that is God. God. He asks God to help him. Let's think about this. You've got some children playing in a playground. Say a bunch of 3-year-olds. Happens in Feltham, happens everywhere, doesn't it? It's got the children all playing, and you've got the mothers at the side of the playground. And one of the children, let's call her Anna, she's a 3-year-old girl, she falls over, she bangs her leg, she's hurt, and in her little world, she's desperate. She wants help. What does she cry? What does she cry? She says, Mommy, help me. Now, is she speaking to all 6 of those mothers or whoever they might be at the side? And she's thinking, well, one of them might turn up. There is only one she is speaking to, because there's only one she knows as the one who cares for her and helps her. And it's to that mommy that her heart is going, because she knows that is her mommy and she is the one who's interested in her and cares for her. That's what David's doing here. What's David's doing here? He's being knocked over in life. He's overwhelmed by life. He's fainting in his soul. And he goes, oh God. Because He's not looking for any other gods. He's just looking for God. Because he knows this God. He knows this God cares for him. Children, everyone, there is a God you can know who cares. Not a distant God. He can be sought from anywhere. As it says at the beginning of verse 2. David cries to this one. And like the child in the playground, he's not asking, he's not crying to the mum just to stand on the side and just wave. He wants, that child, Anna, we thought of, wants help. And David wants God to help. He wants God to come. He realizes nothing else is going to shift this situation. Nothing else is going to be meaningful into this situation. Only God, himself is going to come. Now, we don't know the detail of what was going on in David's life, and that's just as good, isn't it? Because if we knew the detail, we would say, well, that's not my situation. But we know David's teaching us this morning. This is what to do. This is what to do when life gets too big. And then he says, look at this great phrase at the end of verse 2. So we're thinking of David finding his feet. Life is overwhelmed for him, and he cries to God. This is the order then. We're overwhelmed by life. What are you going to do next? Moan and groan, go to God. And then look at the end of verse 2. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. He's realizing that in his own personal situations, that's not going to sort it. He wants something bigger outside of his situation. He's looking to God. He's looking to the one who is higher than himself. And he's not saying, well, I'm going to get there myself. I've got to be led. I've got to have someone who's going to supply the enabling, the ability to take me to this rock because I'm fainting and life is falling apart for me. And he needs a rock. He needs stability. You know, you're in the sea and you're in the turbulence of the sea. You've been cast overboard from a ship. You see a rock. Well, that's going to be your stability, isn't it? Get to that rock, and you've got stability. Well, David said, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. There was Spurgeon in his commentary on the Psalms, tells of some shore, some sea, some coast somewhere, where ships were being cast aground and sailors were being thrown out into the water, and on this coast they were all dying because they couldn't escape. The waves just beat upon them and they just died. And this man, he came along and he thought, ah, I can help this situation. So he worked to make a cave in the rock on the side of the coast, on the cliff face, and then he put a pathway down to the bottom. And on that pathway, they could come up. They could be come up to this cave in the cliff. So all those previously, the seamen had died. Now they had this way of escape up to this cave in the rock. And that's what God has done. He's given us a way of escape. There is a rock in heaven that we can go to. Christian, this morning, there's a rock in heaven you can go to right now. You cry out, Lord, take me. Lord, take me. And you can now lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Trusting in yourself this morning? Trusting in yourself? You really trusting in yourself? It's a dangerous thing. We're weak. We need God. So go to the rock. Go to the rock. Go to Jesus Christ, the rock of our salvation. You know, if you're in this place this morning, and let's go for this. If you're in this place this morning, and you've never known anything of this, finding your feet in life because you're desperate, the heart of your problem is your sin. The heart of your problem is your rebellion against God. And that Jesus Christ has come to break that situation. He's gone to the cross. He's taken all your rebellion and sin. He's taken it there so that you, if you reach away to the rock now, you can say, Lord, lead me to your rock. I confess my sins and I can know this standing upon Christ. we can be refreshed, these shepherds, this morning. Fellow believer, if sin is keeping you from the rock this morning, confess your sins and go to the rock. If it's just simply your weakness, just cry and know that he's there as the rock that is our God. And then he looks back. He looks back in verse 3. He looks back. He says, this is my experience. God has been my refuge. God has been my strong tower. God has been my refuge. For you have been my refuge. Ever been out in the fields? I don't know if anybody ever been out in the fields and you see a lot of rabbits around. And then somebody comes or something comes to threaten them. Where do they go? Straight down the hole. That's their refuge. And it's as if David is saying, I know where my refuge is. God has been my refuge. I've experienced it in the past. And God has been my strong tower. The walls around the city at that time were made strong by these towers which were situated at certain parts of the wall. And with those towers, you could always also have a lookout for all the dangers. And David knew, God has been my strong tower. I'm a flimsy wall. God has been my strong tower to make me strong. And God has got me through in the past, and God will get me through again. David looks to the past. Good to look to the past, brothers and sisters. Good to look to the past and know how God has helped you in the past. Log those things in your heart and your soul and your mind. Bring them back again. When Satan is tempting you to think you're going to collapse, just bring them back. God got me through that. He was my refuge. God got me through that. He was my strong tower for this flimsy wall. Well, we're starting to think about some of the desperate situations of life. Can I just share with you? One of the big concerns I have is I think people come into church and think we're a lot of people who've got it sussed and sorted. Okay? And so they're put off from church because they go to church. Well, they're a lot of goody-goodies who are actually living life in a decent way. And I'm mixed up and messed up and not going to find much help there. That's nonsense. And if we convey that as a church, Feltham Evangelical Church, we got it wrong. Okay? What are we, Feltham Evangelical Church? We are a bunch of messed up people who are being retrieved and renewed by Jesus Christ. And we want other messed up people to come in and be retrieved and renewed by Jesus Christ. Yeah? That's what we're about. Okay? So if you're this, look, what I'm going to say to you this morning, where can we go now? If you're this morning here and you feel, well, you've got some big stuff going on in your life and it's really troubling you. It may be sin. It may be sin. It just may be emotional. It may be relationships. Then we're here for you. Please come and speak. And Feltham Evangelical Church, be a church where people can come, where the people who are faint can come. And we are not going to look down upon people because they're living a certain moral, immoral way and say, whoa, don't want that. We are a people who do want people to come and talk to us. We want to help people. You know, I'm broken. You know, I don't know what to say fully, but it's such a big thing in my heart. I think so many people can come into church and they can be so troubled and never reach a position of getting any help. But I want you to know I'm broken. Yeah, I want you to know it. You know, I'm mentally and emotionally, I don't function properly. Okay? And I have to bear with that. Paul had to bear with his thorn in the flesh in 2 Corinthians and chapter 12. And it seems as though it wasn't taken from him. So that, he says there in 2 Corinthians 12, so that in his weakness, the power of Christ might rest upon him. And in a sense, that's my vulnerability because of the way God has constructed me. God may deliver me from it. But God may say, Philip, amidst all your emotional and mental frailty, my grace is sufficient for you. Why am I saying that? I'm saying that because that's what we are as a people. Other people could come up now and they may have different frailties, but Feltham Evangelical Church is made up of people with frailties. Now, as you share things, there are certain things that you may just have to live with in life. And we can help you to live within life. There may be certain struggles, Certain people are sexually dysfunctional. They do not fit according to the proper pattern of God's word, and they have to live within that situation and difficulty. Some people are physically dysfunctional and have to live with that situation. God may deliver. So what I want us to know this morning, that God is here for the desperate. You may be desperate, and we can all have different ways in which we're desperate. Not in sharing this. I'm not saying that we're a people here who are going to encourage you to continue in sin. We want to help you out of sin. The Christian message, as we thought from 1 Kings and chapter 14, you'll see, if you continue in sin, it always is bad news. So we want to help people in their sin to come to a better way. And that better way is in Christ, to find hope and purpose with Him. And very likely after that, you have to live with issues in your life. But God is always sufficient. So we cry in all of my deep difficulties, Lord, lead me to the rock that is higher than I, and get help. That's my plea to you this morning, for everybody, for the church here, for you, that we want to be helpers for the desperate, because God is a helper of the desperate. Okay, let's go on to the second point. That's my first point this morning, finding your feet. You find your feet in the desperate situations of life by crying to God, knowing that He's helped you in the past, and knowing that there is a rock who is higher than you. Let's go to the second point this morning. It's in verses 4 and 5. And we're thinking here of stabilizing. It's just taking things a step further. From finding your feet, you're now stabilizing. You're getting yourself together. Here's David, and he's progressing, you see. He's progressing. Let's go to verses 4 and 5. And you see now, I long to dwell in your tent forever and take refuge in the shelter of your wings. So he's wanting to be in the presence of God. He realized that's the best place to be. Is that attractive? Attractive to you today? To be in the presence of God. David is realizing that's the place to be. The best place to be. To live in His favor. Children. This can be for you as well. It can be for all of us, to live in His presence. The idea there at the beginning of verse 4 is be an asylum seeker. I long to be an asylum, to find asylum in your tent forever. I long to find asylum. What's an asylum seeker? What's an asylum seeker? Asylum seeker is in a place where they have no rights and they are dependent upon others for a welcome. An asylum seeker has no rights in a place, but is dependent upon others for a welcome. And David is saying, I'm just so happy to take asylum in the dwelling place of God. I know, got no rights here. Got no rights. Fellow Christians this morning, you think because of an upbringing, you've got rights in the church? You've got rights in God's presence? You've only got opportunity to be in this place. Why? Only opportunity to be in this place. Why? Because of God's grace. Because we got no rights here. It's all dependent upon His kindness. It's a great thing. And then we think about the wings there in verse 4 as well. Be taken under the shadow of the wings in verse 4. Take refuge in the shelter of your wings. Where does a little chick want to go? Where does a little chick want to go? He gets out from under the wings of his mother. Just wants to go back. Because it's protection, it's warmth, it's care. And this is David now. He's getting a perspective on life. Where do I want to be? I want to be in God's presence. I want to be in God's care. And he wants to know fellowship with God as we move into verse 5. I want to know fellowship with God as we move into verse 5. For you have heard my vows, O God. His vows, his commitments. He has responded to the goodness of God and he says, I have committed myself to go a certain way. Yeah. And he knows that God has heard those things. He knows that God is interested in those things. He knows that God is interested in the desires that are in his heart to go in a certain way. God, fellow Christian, perhaps you need to know this. God is a God relationship. A God is not a distant God. A God is not a dead God. A God is not a foreign God. A God is a God of relationship who hears our vows. And then we think about the goodness of God as you go into at the end of verse 5. So we thought about, here is David stabilizing. He wants the presence of God. He wants to know the relationship with God. And now he's going to tell of the goodness of God. And his soul is brightening. His soul is being lifted up as he thinks about how good the Lord has been to them, to him. As it says in verse 5, "For you have heard my vows, O God. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name." He is one who has a deep respect for God, and he's numbered with the ones who have a respect for God. And he's given him a heritage. He's given him an inheritance. I don't know your financial connections, your relatives. You may be looking forward to a big inheritance. Yeah? You may have wealthy parents, or wealthy grandparents, and you think, well, one day £1 million could come my way. And that would be your inheritance. Here's a better inheritance. And we pick it up in 1 Peter in chapter 1 and verse 4 as it's applied into our situation. That we as Christians have been called to an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade. And it's kept in heaven for us. Christians, we have better things ahead. We have an inheritance. Those who fear the Lord, those who have been brought into the fear of the Lord, have an inheritance. The best is yet to be, fellow believers. And so David is brightening himself up and thinking, well, can you see his soul is expanding? His soul is getting a perspective as he's stabilizing. He wants to be in the presence of God. And you can almost see a smile coming to David's face. And he thinks about these things from being overwhelmed and thinking he was going under. Now he can see the presence of God. He wants to be there. He knows this relationship with God because God hears his vows. He knows of the goodness of God. He's been blessed so richly. And everything is brightening in his soul. And we can know this brightening as well, brothers and sisters, when we see these things. When we get a hold of them in our souls. Let's not divert. Just get these things. What's David remembering? Being in the presence of God. He may be far away, but he's remembering all the things back in Jerusalem, even connected with the presence of God in that tabernacle there that showed the very place where God would dwell. He's thinking, yeah, I want to be there. And I want to know fellowship with him. And I want to know the goodness of him. Okay. Right, everybody. Where are we now then? Where are we now in respect of this? It may be doing good for you now, or it may be good for the future, but we've got to get this. Can I say something? Younger ones in particular, I do feel this is an issue very often. Younger ones in particular, I want to say to you, you're hearing this stuff this morning and you've perhaps heard it before. And I just want to say to you, I want to say this to you. It may not be getting traction in your mind at the moment. It may not be hitting you at the moment. But when there comes a point in your life when you do get desperate and you do want the answer is in the God who is known through Jesus Christ and there alone. Don't get diverted. David doesn't get diverted. He gets on the right track and on the right track. He's finding he's moving forward. There's so many people in life, I think, just get hijacked when they come to the desperate times of life. And they just make a mess up. And I'm just saying to you, I want you to find this now. Don't get me wrong. But if it's not hitting you now and it comes to that point in God's purposes, take it Jesus Christ's way. It's the only way. It's the only way into these beautiful things. David's brightening up. We'll come to the final point now. And there's a future, which is in verses 6 to 8. There is a future. David's seeing a future. There was no future for him in verse 2. He was utterly, utterly on his way out. But now there's a future. He's been to look to this rock. He's been to see the hope that's in Christ. And it's all filling his soul. And now there's a future. So let's look at verses 6 to 8. First thing is, he's got a purpose. He speaks about the king, and I think he's almost telling himself, well, that's me. I've got a job to do. It's as if he'd forgotten all about any purpose in his life when he was floundering, and that can happen to us. And now he's thinking, I'm the king. I've got something to do. I've got a purpose in life. It says, increase the days of the king's life, his years for many generations, may be enthroned in God's presence forever. Appoint your love and faithfulness to protect him. And I think he's thinking, well, that's me. I've got something to do, and it could go on a long time. I want to do it because it's God's call for me. Is that for you? There's a future? You've got a purpose in life? God brightens you up and says, there's a future. You've got a purpose. That purpose, what might it be? For some of you, it's simply you've got children to take care of. For some of you, it may be you've got parents to take care of. For some of you, it is in your workplace. And God says, that's my purpose for you. For some of you, it's serving your community. That's my purpose. But God has got a purpose. For some of you, it's your studies. It's your purpose. A second thing is prophecy. Prophecy. David, there's something subtle that goes on here. I can't fully explain it. I don't know how much David knew about it, but he's starting to. You see, David had been told in 1 Samuel and chapter 7 and verse 16, all of the beginning of 1 Samuel, about the fact that a great house would come out of his name. And we read, for example, in verse 2 Samuel 7, and your house and your kingdom shall be established forever before you, your throne shall be established forever. And that establishing is going to go for one onto one who's going to occupy the throne, the great king, the great ruler. And his name is Jesus Christ. And David is emerging into this prophecy, this expectancy about Jesus Christ coming. And that's, so his heart is filled with a future for himself, but also for the purposes of mankind, as it were, as this one who is going to be literally forever. Jesus Christ will come to the throne. He's on the throne now. He came to this world. So there is a purpose and there is a prophecy. And we today can enter into all of God's prophetic purposes in Christ. And we can also know that there is praise in verse 8. No praise in verse 2, lots of praise in verse 8. Then will I ever sing praise to your name. Praise him. Is there a song of praise on your lips today? Is there something you want to express as regards to your delight concerning God? David had got remarkably, and it is remarkable, I think it's totally remarkable, that he's got to a state of praise here. I mean, who can do this? This is not therapy. This is not mental manipulation. This is God. This is simply the transformation that comes into a soul from God. And it can happen to you and to me. Raised up to praise. And then finally, we can see there's some practice going on. David is saying, I'm going to practice these things. The praise goes into practice. And the practice goes into praise. Almost might say verse 8 would intermingle. And fulfill my vows day after day. David commits himself to certain things. What's a vow? What's a vow? August 17th, 1996, I took some vows. I committed myself to taking on certain responsibilities and fulfilling a certain role and taking on certain things as regards to myself being married to Mei Lin. Those are my vows. And vows are about committing ourselves to certain things. Committing ourselves to certain activities. And David is saying, I'm going to practice these things now. I've got a life to live. I'm going to practice. I'm going to seize hold of certain things, commit myself to them and go and do them day after day. Not just Sunday, but Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I'm going to do these things. Now, Sunday's a good day to make some vows. In a sense, every sermon should be, you should get some vows into your life and say, yeah, it may be just one thing. It might be even half a thing, just something to get into your soul. And say, I'm going to do that. I'm going to live that. I'm going to take that into my life. And make your vow and go and live every day in these things. Well, that's it. Well, is it? Is it it? Well, yes, it is it. Because that is enough. Because David has gone from being desperate to being a man with purpose, seeing prophetically God's ways. He's a praising man and he's a man who's going to practice God's ways. And that's just great. Because there is hope for the desperate. There is help for the desperate. There is a future for the desperate. Because God is the God who can change things through our Lord Jesus Christ. So the Lord Jesus Christ said, come to me.
all you are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's in him and in him alone.
So we're going to sing a hymn, and it's going to be a hymn which is going to thrust us forward, to move forward for our God. So let's stand and sing to the Lord as we want to trust him as our shield and our defender. Let's stand with the music.